good afternoon, everybody. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to A Progressive Life. And today we're going to have a special guest, Mike Larson, who is running for, he's in the primary to run for congressman in this district, District 4. He will be, if he is the winner, he will go against Jim Jordan, who is the Republican candidate. And so we are going to have him, and it looks like he might be calling in right now. Hang on. You're on the air.
Hi, Glenn, it's Mike.
Hey, Mike, you're on the air. I'm glad. Boy, you called in right on time.
I am nothing if not punctual.
Fantastic. I'm sorry you couldn't make it up here, but I'm kind of glad we saved you the gas money.
Yeah, no, I had an interview this morning at the Columbus Dispatch, and evidently I was so fascinating that it went long.
Well, you are a fascinating guy, and... as I've gotten to know you more and more, I say that with tongue-in-cheek more and more. But and no, you are a fascinating guy. Mike is running, as I said before he called in, Mike is running for the 4th District Congressional office. He's in a primary. You're in with, what, 3 other contestants, I believe?
Two other Democrats.
Two others. And, yeah. Oh, that's right. And you will be facing off against Jim Jordan if you happen to, if you take the cake. You know, yeah. I got to tell you this before we go too far. I got a text last night. I had put on the air. I had put on my Facebook that we were going to have you on the air, and I had a gentleman text me, I don't know, way late at night. Of course, he was out in California, so he didn't know it was way late at night, but he texted me. He wanted to know how to get the show. So if you happen to know Jim Bailey, he's listening. Hey, Jim.
I do not. I don't think I know Jim Bailey, but thank you for reaching out. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. Now, we've had people call in from Florida, North Carolina, and now California that are streaming our show, and we appreciate that.
That's great. Well, you know, I always, WWGH is one of, I mean, it's a, there aren't many stations like yours anymore. These,
there
you
are.
Know, local stations that actually have live human beings,
that's
you know,
right.
Hosts. There used to be so many of them, and I mean, we have a couple in this district, I think. But yeah, it's awesome to have, you know, actual local people doing shows and talking about local politics.
Well, it's kind of neat. We do it for the love of radio. Most of us here don't take a salary. We just do it because we've always been in radio. Therefore, a lot of us are a little long in tooth. But but we have a great time. And as you know, I've been working on a list of radio stations, newspapers, televisions, and a few other things for background information about for your campaign. And one of the things I looked up last night before I went to bed, I have 3 pages of stuff I'm going to send you, but I just
Great.
Realized there is a listing of all the LP stations. Low power is what the LP stands for. It
okay.
usually means that it'll cover about a 10-mile to 15-mile radius, which is plenty big enough for a county, and
right.
so that's what we're doing. And, you know, Mike, we've been, our station, our neighbor station that kind of has opened the door for us to have, like, my show tomorrow, Swap Shop, and it's also, they discarded 2 more employees, so I think they're down to 2 or 3 employees for 3 stations. And we are finding that we're getting more and more and more people listening to this radio station, and I think that might be the future of radio, is to go to the low-powered stations that just service one county. And,
yeah.
And then... anybody that wants to listen to it in California can text it or
right.
can go to the website.
No, I think it's great. It's you know, I remember I was in Iowa right after college. I was volunteering on a presidential campaign and went to Iowa to work in the caucuses. And I remember the local station, I was staying in Carroll, Iowa, and every Saturday morning they had a show that did farm prices, bowling scores, and obituaries.
I love it.
I loved it. It was like I had to listen every Saturday. It was fascinating to me.
The obits are a natural hook. Everybody wants to know
right.
whether they died in the night or if they know somebody that did. Yeah, that's a natural hook. Well, anyway, we're keeping up the good charge here as we try to keep Marion County well aware of what's going on in the area. And it really is the only station anymore. For that matter, our newspaper has really gotten, I think they're down to only one reporter for the area. So we kind of have a corner on the market here, and we're keeping it up. Hey, let's get into the business at hand, though, Mike. I'm pretty good at telling people who you are. I know you're a little modest, but I'm going to tell a little bit about you.
All right.
You have your degree, I believe, from up north in California, San Francisco, University of San Francisco?
No, San Francisco State University.
Okay, San Francisco. I'm sorry, and I apologize to San Francisco State. I'm sure they don't want to be associated.
No, University of San Francisco is a much tougher school. I couldn't have gotten into that. That's a private school.
Okay. Well, and also Mike has been on. Mike is a stand-up comedian. He's been on Leno a couple of times. He's done all sorts of gigs. A gig is between you and I, the listening audience, and myself. That means he's done shows. But anyway, he's done lots of gigs on that. He also mentors, or used to, now that you've left California and live down in what's the name of that little town?
I live in Plain City.
Plain City. Before he moved to Plain City, you used to mentor inmates out there. Why don't you tell us just a touch about that?
I still do quite a bit. In fact, I'm in touch with a number of. So I visited San Quentin State Prison back when I was an employee for Congresswoman Jackie Speier.
Visit's the key word there, right?
Right, yes. But let me tell you, even when you know you're going to get out in a couple hours, it is a scary place when those doors clang shut behind you. San Quentin is like a medieval castle. It was built in 1835, I think.
Wow.
And it is a scary place. So when I first visited as a congressional aide, one of the guys had me get up and talk about myself. And when I mentioned that I was also a television writer, they invited me back to their creative writing class. They call themselves the Brothers in Pen. And they're the creative writing class, and every year they publish an anthology of stories that they've worked on over the year. So I've gone back to the class dozens of times, but then I've also gone to their public reading of their anthology, which is incredible. I know you have your sons out in California.
Yes.
One of these days, when they have one of their public readings, I'll let you know if you're able to swing it. It is worth going. It's incredible. And then I also was asked to write the foreword to their anthology last year, so it was really honored. But some of the guys, I'd say about a dozen of them, have either been paroled or had their sentence commuted, and they're out. And so I still talk to them. I talk to at least one of them every week. I talk to them all the time, both giving advice when they need it, but mostly just because they're my friends now, so we catch up with each other.
Well, that's cool. Well, and now you've stolen all my thunder away. You told the audience that you had worked for Jackie Speier, and everybody knows Jackie Speier because she's been so active in this impeachment process and also in all the other governmental things. You also, let's see, I know I'm forgetting stuff. We'll probably run over them as we go.
Well, here's the story you might not know.
Okay.
Did you know about my internship when I was when I was a freshman in college, I had an internship on an initiative campaign that was run out of a camera store that was owned by Harvey Milk, who was the
that's right.
first, openly gay elected official in maybe the country. I don't know. But it was an initiative, which is funny when you think now. The initiative was called the Briggs Initiative, and it would have made it illegal for gays and lesbians to teach public school. Which you look back on it now and you think, wow, was that really ever a thing? But the people running the campaign, including Harvey Milk, specifically asked my college professors to recommend two straight students from the suburbs because they knew that the campaign was run entirely by gay men, and they knew that they weren't going to win unless they reached people like my parents, who were, you know, Democrats, but also Catholics and, you know, lived in the burbs. So, it was an incredible opportunity. And the best thing about it was they actually listened to us. We weren't interns who did copies and made coffee. I mean, we did that too, but they actually kind of asked, how do we frame this argument to reach your mom and dad? And at the time, I had a job working at a ballpark selling peanuts, and it was a Teamster job. So they also sent me to the Teamsters to talk about the initiative. What a great political education it was for me.
And thus the beginning of your union contributions.
Yes, I've been pretty much in a union ever since, one union or another.
Well, as you know, I've followed you for, I don't know, ever since you followed me when I was running for state representative. And I can't say enough nice things about you, but let's get into some of the things that I'd like to talk about what's going on right now. And I'm not going to really push the we'll talk about the impeachment later, but what do you feel about free press? Now, we're really kind of struggling with questions about free press. Now, is it right to have free press like Fox News or like MSNBC that actually have their own agenda? Or is it should we do away with those?
Oh, no. I think, for one thing, I think every viewpoint should be expressed publicly so that we know it's out there. You know, I am pretty aligned with the ACLU on that, even though there are times they defend organizations that I despise. Mm-hmm. You know, I would rather have the white supremacists, you know, marching with their flags and goofy haircuts so we can see them and know who they are than
they
have them gathered in you know, secret somewhere. So I'm a big First Amendment advocate. But yeah, I am not a huge fan myself of kind of liberal echo chambers who tell me what I already know. I seek out other, for instance, like when the impeachment thing's going on, I will often turn over to Fox News to see what they're saying. I think
I
it's important we know what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I even get upset when, I mean, I've had, you know, Democratic politicians who are close to me and who I know, and when I think they cross the line criticizing reporters for doing their job, I will let them know. I say, I understand. You know, I've had, just in this campaign, I've had things written in newspapers about me that I thought were either inaccurate or, you know, unfair. And I keep my mouth shut. I mean, I don't, you know, that was the reporter's point of view, and they're allowed to have it.
As long as they're not slandering you.
Go ahead. Pardon me?
As long as they're not saying things that are lying things about you, I agree with
absolutely.
You.
Or like if another candidate says something that is patently false, I will speak up, absolutely. Yeah. But, yeah, I think people just get too thin-skinned, and you know, there are so few media outlets now. That's why I always jump at an opportunity to be on your show and do stuff with like the the independent television station in Lima, and you know, mm-hmm. there's so few independent outlets. That,
I think I've found two, and that's it in your district.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let me hit on another topic that people are going to beat you up on, and I know where you stand on it. But let's talk about abortion. What is your opinion of the abortion?
My opinion of abortion is that abortion is a medical procedure and it's legal. End of story.
Yeah.
If people are against abortions, I encourage them not to have them. They are welcome to try to convince people to carry a child to term, and that's an honorable thing. I think if your view in that world is trying to convince women to make a different decision, that's a First Amendment thing.
Yep.
But if you are like one of these crackpot state legislators in Ohio, like my state rep,
yes.
Tracy Richardson, oh my God, she is like, if she were not Christian, we would be calling it Sharia law, which she is pushing for.
Yeah.
But to force, so they pass laws like their so-called heartbeat bill, which, you know,
yeah.
that 6 weeks after getting pregnant, you are forced to carry the baby to term. But they don't play it out in real life. So let's say a 13-year-old girl is raped by her stepfather, which happens all the time. She may never even have had her period yet. She doesn't know what her body is going to feel like when it's pregnant. She
yeah.
is most likely not going to know anything until well into the pregnancy, you know, months into the pregnancy. So at that point, we force this girl to walk around pregnant and have the shame of the world on her.
Yeah.
And all along, she knows that a crime was committed, and that's how we're going to punish her. I mean, it just sickens me that
punishing the wrong person,
right? Absolutely, right. And do nothing for the dad probably goes off scot free.
Yeah,
but that's my problem with some of these anti-choice laws. It's like these are people, for the legislators, who call themselves Christians and believe themselves to be good people, and then they just pass laws that are so short-sighted and so cruel, especially to children.
Yeah.
The other thing they believe, people like Jim Jordan, their so-called pro-life view also means that in vitro fertilization would be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter was born with the help of in vitro fertilization.
I have two twin grandsons that were, yeah.
There you go, right? And so so-called pro-life politicians like Jim Jordan want to make my child and your grandchildren illegal.
Yeah.
How the heck is that a pro-life position?
Well, they want to make a lot of people that are south of the border that have come over here illegally, they want to make them illegal too. So.
No, right. And I love that they pretend to not understand why people want to come to this country. I mean, I absolutely am of the view that America is the greatest country in the history of the world, and I was lucky enough to be born here.
Mm-hmm.
But if I wasn't, I would be doing everything I could to get here.
Yeah,
so I
think a lot of people
understand
do.
Why people want to live here.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I had to face when I was running for office, and I ran against Tracy Richardson.
That's right.
But one of the things I had to face is people talking to me, oh, you're pro-abortion. I don't know anybody that's pro-abortion. You're going,
right.
Hey, I'm going to go out this weekend and have an abortion. You just, that does not happen. People are put in a corner where they have no choice. They either feel they have to do it or, nobody
right.
does it out of wanting to do it.
That would be the equivalent of calling someone who supports the Second Amendment, like I do, pro-murder.
Yeah.
Because some guns are used in murders.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's so ridiculous. And they, yeah.
Well, since we brought that up, what's your position on guns?
I believe that any gun that was designed for civilian use should be legal.
Mm-hmm.
However, if it was a gun that was designed specifically to mow down groups of people on the battlefield, there's no reason for civilians to have them. So things like the AR-15, the AK-47, I am nowhere near a gun expert, so I don't know all the models that qualify for that.
Yep.
But I think that's a pretty common sense, that if the police officers responding to shootings don't have those weapons, then neither should the guy doing the shooting.
That's true. Well, you know, muzzle velocity might be a way that they could determine which ones are more or less military weapons. And I had an argument with a gentleman about that, and he said, well, muzzle velocity has nothing to do with it. Well, if you've ever seen what an AR-15 will do as opposed to a 22, which is basically the same size cartridge, or not cartridge, but shell, it's a world of difference because it just explodes whatever it hits.
Right. Yeah. The AR-15 was specifically designed to Defense Department standards, and that same design then became the M-16 for, you know, people in Vietnam or whatever. So it was designed specifically to be able to shoot into crowds to kill lots of, you know, enemy soldiers, and to do the type of organ damage that they would bleed out on the battlefield.
Yeah, they couldn't recover from. I remember our drill sergeant saying, you don't have to hit him in the heart, all you have to do is hit him.
That's right. Well, I have a friend, Dr. Heather Shear, is an emergency room doc in Broward County, Florida, and she was on duty when the kids from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas came in.
Mm-hmm.
And she said there were doctors looking at the x-rays saying, there's nothing to sew together.
Yeah.
That the EMS, the paramedics did incredible work to stabilize these kids and get them to the hospital. But once they got to the hospital, the doctors were like, the liver has been completely obliterated or what, you know, wherever they were hit.
Amazing.
So she wrote an amazing article in Atlantic Monthly in February of last year that people should check out, that explains exactly what you said, that she handles gunshot wounds every day in her job, and she knows what they look like. But when someone is shot with one of those weapons, it's an entirely different thing.
Turns their inside to mush, basically. Okay, let's get on the elephant in the room. Impeachment, all right? First of all, let me tell you that I have a lot of Republican friends, and I will always have a lot of Republican friends, but I think they're kind of hiding in cowardice right now, not coming out and talking, you know, honestly about what we should do. What is your feeling of where we're heading right now?
Yeah, I think people are just so afraid of Trump's wrath. I'm curious where they're going to be when this nightmare is over and under protection in Russia, which I think at some point he's going to flee the country, as despots do when they're done. I would like to preface it with, I thought Bill Clinton should have been impeached because he lied to a grand jury. At the time that happened, I said, no, you can't lie to the grand jury when you're president.
Yeah. You know,
he was my president, he was my party, but I spoke out, and so did a number of Democrats. And my congressman growing up, we had a Republican congressman named Pete McCloskey, who was the first member of Congress to call for Nixon's impeachment, and he was a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So the history shows that people have been able to rise over partisanship. Not many, but some.
Vote for people. I want them to rise over partisanship.
Right. I agree. I agree that you should believe in something. You should be a D or an R because of what you believe in,
right,
not the other way around. You shouldn't just adopt a party and then get in line.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how it's supposed to work. Who knows where this will go.
Do you think
it's a bit of an exercise in futility.
Do you think most Republicans are becoming complicit to this this problem?
I mean, voters.
Well,
I don't know.
Both ways, yeah.
But office holders, and I understand. I understand voting because you're supporting Trump because you agree with his judicial picks or his stance on abortion, or I get that politics isn't always a clean choice. I assume there will be people who vote for me because they agree with me on 90%, but maybe not everything, you know? So I appreciate that, but...
I can't remember a politician that I voted for that I agreed with on everything.
Right.
Obama might be the closest, but that's...
I have people I work for. I mean, in fact, I do remember there was something with Jackie Speier that I disagreed with. During the recession, when gas prices were high, she favored setting the speed limit at 55, and I disagreed because I would have 1,000 speeding tickets if that was the law. I disagreed with Obama on some of his decisions with the Affordable Care Act, that he let insurance companies off the hook. I was very upset about that, but I still love the man and would vote for him for a third term if it was allowed.
Well, I want to touch on one subject that has nothing to do with politics, but you being from California, I got to ask you about Colby. Bryant,
yeah.
And they decided to fly in terrible weather, apparently. But what can you say about it?
Yeah, I don't know what the circumstances of the helicopter. I know that weather condition where there's a low, what they call a low ceiling, mm-hmm. is predominant in Southern California. You have it all the time. So my guess is he had flown in those conditions a lot, but I don't know that. Yeah, Kobe
it broke
is,
my heart. And I wasn't a big Kobe fan, but it broke my heart, especially
Kobe
with his daughter.
Kobe is almost a Shakespearean character, the things that have gone on in his life. Obviously being, I had the privilege of seeing him play live a few times, and it was unbelievable that he seemed to be able to hover in the air for ridiculously long periods where really you would say, what? Is there like a string on him? How is he able to stay airborne like that?
Very Jordan-esque. I mean, both of those guys could stay in the air. It seemed forever, but I have been told that it's not that they hang any longer than anybody else, but they use the arc all the way up, and they use it all the way down. And a lot of people don't use that downside.
Yeah. So my cousin, his son worked for Kobe, and I believe is still with that company. He was hired. He worked on Kobe's film production side of things. And all I know is that, Nate went on and on about what a good guy he was.
Okay.
So, when I first heard the news, that was my first thought was, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no, was Nate on that,
I rarely say anything out loud about something I read in the newspaper because my wife does all the talking away from it. But that one kind of shocked me. I was stunned.
Yeah, well,
and,
having
come from the world of intercollegiate athletics.
Right.
Both
of us come from sports world. I come from a coaching family. And one is I've played basketball my whole life, so I can appreciate when the Michael Jordans or Kobe's or Steph Curry's of the world seem to completely redefine how the game is played,
Well, let me get on to another thing here. Your upcoming events. What do you want to tell people to come visit you anytime or visit your website? Just tell me what you got going.
Yeah. Well, first off, the website is ohiomike2020.com. So please go, and there is a little pop-up that allows you to put in your email address, and we'll keep in touch with you if you want to volunteer, or even if you don't know who you're supporting yet but just want to be kept in the loop. I totally understand that. We have quite a few candidates forums coming up. We did two this weekend, and I recommend every voter to go see those events, that there's no better way to judge a candidate than to see us standing next to each other.
Has Jordan shown up to any of yours?
No, but he doesn't show up to his either.
That's true.
But no, there's no better way, because there's three of us in this Democratic race,
mm-hmm.
all, you know, good people.
They are good people, yes.
Qualified, but we're very, very different from each other. We mm-hmm. all come from distinctly different backgrounds and have different things that we stress of why we're the best. So I really recommend people to go. I hope the local media covers them, because otherwise you're left to judge based on who puts more junk mail in your box, or yeah. which of your neighbors puts up a yard sign, you know?
Yeah.
And having said that, our yard signs will be coming in, I believe, this weekend. So,
well, I need one.
great. And I encourage people to reach out. You can also send an email to contact@ohiomike2020.com. If you want to volunteer, want to sign or whatever. I have a Jim Jordan story for you.
Just
literally minutes before I called you, a good friend, Taylor, lives in Lima, and Taylor has a fairly rare medical condition, and I don't even remember exactly what it's called. It was kind of a confusing name. But part of this medical condition is she has trouble keeping weight on. She catches, her immune system is compromised. So she was supposed to meet me in Lima last week and last minute had to cancel because she had come down with the flu. And I said, you know, I just texted her something like, you know, don't worry, take care of yourself. The important thing is for you to get healthy, whatever, like what any friend would say to a friend, you know.
Yeah.
Well, she called and she told me, I want to retweet that, your text message, because it was so beautiful. And I said, well, Taylor, it's just kind of being a human being. I mean, yeah, feel free. But you know, I didn't think I moved the earth or anything. So she said, well, I want to compare it to what Jim Jordan told me when I met with him. And she said she told Jim Jordan that she has this disease, and it's going to kill her young. She knows that. Mm-hmm. And without the Affordable Care Act, she would not be able to get insurance because of this pre-existing condition.
Mm.
And he told her to marry someone with health insurance.
Oh, then. What a...
Do you believe that?
Holy crap. No, I can't believe that anybody would say something like that.
I can't believe it because I know Jim Jordan. But it's like, it's like every time I hear a story from the guy, he outdoes himself.
Yeah, that's well, and bring us up to date also on your Jim Jordan Muppet. Are you doing anything more with that?
Muppet. Well, have you seen, there was one that just went out.
Yes, I did see that.
I am blessed in many ways, and one of them is I have some talented friends. So a guy named Tim Lagasse, who is probably the greatest puppeteer there is, as far as I know. He works a ton, and anytime the Muppets do anything, or Sesame Street or anything, Tim is usually a part of it. So Tim created this Jim Jordan puppet. Actually, he created a different one 2 years ago for Janet Garrett, but that one ended up being destroyed. So he built another one, and he teamed up with another good friend named Carlos Alazraki, who is an incredible impressionist.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did a little thing where it's Donald Trump calling Jim, and it's hilarious. You can check that out on my Twitter feed, which is just at Mike Larson OH.
Okay.
And by the way, Larson is spelled LARSEN, not O-N.
I had to learn it.
Oh, yeah, everyone misspells it the first time. O-N is the more common spelling of the name. So, yes, they're going to do some more stuff. I've also, some of the actors I've worked with over the years, like on the Drew Carey show, are now recording little endorsements on their phone and sending them, or tweeting them out. So that's been kind of fun.
Fantastic.
So the campaign could not be going better. You know, we were the last candidate to jump in, so we were off to a slower start. So when in the next few days they're going to announce the how much money people raised up till December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
So in that comparison, I will be in third, but that's because I just got in it, you know, around then. So, but boy, this month has been going gangbusters. It's been great. And every time we do a debate with the other candidates, we get dozens of calls of people who want to donate or volunteer or get on the list for a sign. So it just feels like it couldn't be going better.
Do you have any events happening here in Marion County or real close that our people could get to?
I wish I was good enough at technology that I could both check my calendar on my phone and talk at the same time.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure there's a way. I'm remembering. But, okay, so I know there's one in Logan County coming up, and I know there's one in Richwood,
okay.
Which is Northern Union County.
That's the Women of Action, right?
Oh, and there's one. That's right. There's one in Bucyrus, too.
Okay.
On February 12th.
Okay.
Abe Lincoln's birthday at the Bucyrus Public Library.
Very good.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there was going to be one in Marion, because everyone's been. In fact, when I first announced, I sent a notice to every Democratic club, all 14 county central committees in the district, begging them to do something with all the candidates. Because, like I say, I know for myself, those presidential debates were so informative for me to judge people, you know, apples to apples. So, yeah, that's the best way for people to know what's going on.
All right. I'm hoping that I'm going to be. And the Women's in Action, that's down there in Richwood. Do you know what date that is? I have it on my phone, but I'm like you.
February 11th?
Is it that early?
I think it is, because I know that week, the 10th, through the 16th. Yeah, that one's February 11th at 6:30.
Okay.
And that will be the congressional candidates. I believe Tiffany Roberts, who's running against Tracy. And I never forget to give a shout out to Tiffany. She's an incredible candidate.
She is.
And I think there might be, the guy running for state Senate, the Democrat running for Senate.
Okay.
I met him. I feel bad that I don't remember his name, but I think he will be there as well.
Well, people that are in Richwood's less than 15, well, about 15 miles from here, and I think they're having it in the library there. And I went there when I was running, and they had a pretty good turnout, and it really helped.
I remember. I was at that event.
Yes, you were.
Garrett. Yeah.
And it was pretty good. It was good help for me. It actually got my name out. But
there were a lot of people, and I remember they asked tough questions.
Yeah, they did.
It was a good group. Yeah.
And I tried to be as silly as I could. But anyway, I'm going to be at that one for sure. And I encourage anybody in this area, because it's such an easy drive. It's just straight down Route 4 and turn right where it says Richwood Right, and it's about 2 miles off. So everybody that wants to meet Mike, I'm sure, Mike, you won't mind if I introduce you to a lot of my friends down there, will you?
I would love that. And on that subject, right now I am just trying to meet as many people as possible. So if anyone would be so generous as to invite me into their home to meet their friends and their neighbors, again, reach out at the website at contact@ohiomike2020.com, and we will set that up. I've been sometimes there's 40 people and sometimes there's 4, but either way, right now it's all about meeting voters.
When is the primary, the date for the primary?
Okay, so early voting starts February 19th, and
right.
Election Day, which is actually the last day to vote, is March 17th.
March 17th.
If you are someone who over-celebrates for St. Patrick's Day, I would encourage early voting.
Well, I used to. I don't over-celebrate anymore. I'm too old for that.
Yeah,
hey, by the way,
I hear you. Me too.
Next time I see you, I'll be looking at you with 20/20 vision. I got my cataracts all taken care of. And
that's right. Yes, you had your...
Yeah.
So is that like a LASIK procedure?
No, they actually go in and cut your eyeball.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And the first one, I was so far out of it that I don't remember anything. The second one, I remember the whole thing, except they had my face covered, so when they finally pulled the stuff away, I said, "When are you going to start?" He said, "We're done."
So, oh, wow.
It was kind of cool. Anyway, that's
great.
Enough of my problems. I was going to ask you, how can people contact your campaign rather than bothering you? Would you rather they call you? Like, if they want to donate or if they want to find out if they can host something, how would you suggest they do that?
So there's a couple ways.
Okay.
I have no problem with people contacting me directly if they would like to, and I'll give you that number. It's 614-717-3630, and if I don't pick up, leave a message. I'm happy to talk to anyone. But also, two email addresses, contact@ohiomike2020.com. That's the email that is constantly being monitored by somebody on the campaign.
Okay.
Or they can email me directly, which is just Mike.
Okay.
At ohiomike2020.com.
Who's your you have a new campaign manager? What was his name again?
I do. Kyle Easter is my campaign manager, and you can reach him at Kyle@ohiomike2020.com.
Is it Easter as in like the holiday?
As in the thing that happens after Pentecost.
Okay,
yes.
Very good.
And Rebecca Regan is my campaign chair.
Okay.
And people may know her. She is. I don't think there's been a Democratic campaign in this part of Ohio that Rebecca did not have her fingers in. She knows everybody, and she has just been incredible.
Great. I'm writing all this down so that I have stuff, and I will keep on trying, as you know, to get stuff your way, and we will. I hope I can get you back on before you know, maybe next month again.
Anytime. Let's say I would have been there in person if the meeting didn't go long this morning. But
that's
anytime,
all right.
I'll happily ride up. You're only about half hour from Plain City.
I remember that drive. I used to come down your way when I was running for office.
Right.
And that road scares me. People drive 65 miles an
42?
Hour.
42?
Route
42?
4.
Yeah, there's a lot of accidents on there. There's just one the other day, I think, where someone was killed. Yeah, it's there's a lot of trucks. And the quarry is right there, so you get these giant kind of stone haulers that take up more than one lane.
You're afraid you're going to get scratches on the side of your car as you go by them.
Yeah,
it's kind of scary. Let me remind people, you think that there's going to be a showing or a thing on at the Bucyrus Library. Did you know what time that was going to be?
The Bucyrus event, I thought it was... Kyle's with me here. He's going to call it up.
Okay.
Bucyrus Library, there's a candidates debate.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be the three Democrats running for Congress. And that's at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
On February 12th.
Okay, and then we've got the Women in Action on February 11th at 6:30.
That's the following night. No, the
preceding
previous night on the 11th.
At
6:30. And that's at the library there in Richwood.
Right. All right. We will try and get some people to come out, and we will keep hammering that for the next couple of weeks so that people will know.
And work on your questions. The harder, the better. I mean, that's one thing with these debates. It's like whoever wins this nomination, we need to be prepared to take on Jordan. So I always encourage people to grill us. You know, don't let us give you some pat answer that every politician gives you. You got to really hold our feet to the fire.
It's kind of like the presidential election in that the Democratic candidates seem to enjoy responding to the tough questions, because the easy questions are just, they're not even worth listening to.
Oh, and you hate when people just give you the stale old Democratic talking points.
Yeah.
You know, I love it when someone asks something out of the blue or something.
I refuse to give talking points when I was running, because I knew it just turned people off.
You know what? When I worked for Jackie Speier, every morning we would get Democratic talking points, and we took to calling them the tossing point.
Yeah, yeah.
That as soon as you get them, you read and say, okay, that's what everyone else is going to be saying. Now, what are we going to say?
That's right.
So
right.
I have maintained that tradition with myself. It's like, no, if something sounds like it could have come out of one of the other candidates' mouth, then I don't want to be saying it.
Okay, well, hey, Mike, we're at the end of the show, so I'm going to have to say goodbye to you, and thanks a lot for calling in, and
thanks, Glenn.
Good luck.
Always a pleasure.
Bye-bye. Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian Dick Gregory.
I just say my prayer to the real God. I said, hey, man, there are some Negroes that deserve cancer, but I am not